This podcast is supported by Elite Sports Travel. Visit elitesportstravel.co.uk to view the various packages available to watch live NFL games in the US. Bookings are currently available for the Super Bowl in February and also the 2023 season in Las Vegas. Now let's get into the podcast.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Reynolds Podcast in association with Elite Sports Travel. Going to have another special guest for you in just a moment's time. But I want to tell you, first of all, about the Neil Reynolds West Coast Road Trip with Elite Sports Travel. So we're jetting off in December. You're going to take in three fantastic cities, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. If you can join us, you'll get to watch the Los Angeles Chargers at the Las Vegas Raiders at Allegiant Stadium, the Raiders at the Rams in SoFi Stadium, and then we get to see the greatest of all time, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the San Francisco 49ers in Levi's Stadium. I'll be with you from the Monday night. We're going to have a drinks event and a watch-along in Las Vegas watching Monday Night Football. We'll then all travel to Los Angeles together. We'll take in a stadium tour of SoFi. We'll have a drinks event in LA. So in Las Vegas and LA, I'm going to bring in some of my special friends from around the NFL. You got the Raiders and Rams on Thursday, and then Bucks and 49ers on the following Sunday. So from December the 3rd to the 12th, there's still time to get involved, still time to join us. You can find out all the details at Neil Reynolds NFL on Twitter or at Elite Sports Trav. That's the Neil Reynolds West Coast Road Trip. I hope you can join us for that. So this podcast today was recorded ahead of a historic weekend in Germany, ahead of the first regular season game between the Seattle Seahawks and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. First regular season game to be played in Germany at Allianz Arena in Munich. And I spoke to the first ever German player to score a touchdown in the NFL. So Marcus Kuhn went from being a junior player in Mannheim in Germany all the way to the NFL with the New York Giants and Tom Brady's New England Patriots. So I hope you enjoy my conversation with Marcus Kuhn. So Marcus, let's start with, first of all, growing up. When did you have your first American football experience? When did you kind of get exposed to the game?
I think my actually real first American football experience was the first time I've ever traveled to the US, which I was about 14 years old. We did a family vacation. Like Germans were pretty good travelers, so we were lucky enough to actually make it to Florida, like still Disney World or Land or whichever one. I think it's World, actually. Yeah. So got to fly to Disney World and did a round trip through Florida with my family, and then I saw American football on TV, the NFL, even probably college. I wouldn't have known a difference what it was back then. But I realized right away, having done a lot of other sports in my past growing up in Germany, that this is probably a sport that fits to me the best out of everything else I've tried in the past, just by the way I look, like my size, and maybe even my personality a little bit too. So yeah, that was kind of my first exposure. And then the next step was asking my older sister to connect me to some of her classmates who were 3 years older than me to take me to my first ever football practice once we were back in Germany.
Okay, so who was your first team in Germany then? So we can get the kind of picture of your journey and your pathway. Yeah.
Yep. So it was so then I was like 15 years old, and it was a youth team in Weinheim, Germany. So a town over. I was born in Mannheim, grew up in Vienheim, a lot of Heims, and then played football in Weinheim. And showed up there, no pads, had nothing with me, but always been a big kid. And then the coach looked at me right away, had big hands. Oh, still have them, obviously. And he was like, oh, you'll probably be a good tight end. You can probably catch the ball because just like, you know, they would fit to you. And so my first year I was jumped in. I was actually a long snapper too. And I played tight end and long snapper. And then I was moved to in my next year to the defense position, and I played some running back too. So the year after that, I was a linebacker and a running back. And then actually my last 2 years in my youth league, I was like a lot of Germans, when you were one of the better players, they just think they should put you at quarterback too. So I was actually the linebacker and the quarterback in Germany, which is a great mix of positions. But you never leave the field. And I had a pretty interesting and good time playing those two spots.
All right, that's got me interested now. I want to know what it was like when you played quarterback.
I mean, a lot of options, right? And a lot of let's run the ball, like let's tuck it or have a fast receiver and just throw it out and hope he will run under it and get there. Because I always joke about if I would have a Manning rating, I would probably be a 99 power, but like 4 or 5 at accuracy. So it was pretty obvious that coming to the U.S., that wouldn't be my spot any longer. So I was mainly focused on the defense side of the ball and then played with the seniors for 1 year after that, kind of when I knew I would already, you know, take the next step. And that's when also when the NFL Europe back then was live and well, and they showed some interest in a lot of European players, and they also showed interest in me. And I started taking football a little bit more seriously, but I decided not to take the NFL Europe route because I wanted to go after graduating school in Germany. I wanted to go to university anyways. And I thought if I can play at that level, I maybe be lucky enough to grab a scholarship in the US and try my luck over there.
That must have been a temptation though. You had to resist the temptation not to go for NFL Europe, which was right there, you know, right there at home. To take this big step to go to America, which I know is a big step.
Yeah, it's a huge step. I'm very close with my family. So I was a little bit of a homesick child always growing up. So imagining coming to the US, leaving everything behind to follow your dream was big. And it's not like it was very seamless. The NFL Europe was a relatively low-hanging fruit because it was the team that was interested was Frankfurt too, which is in half an hour north of where I grew up. But for some reason didn't see it as my future. And my last year in the NFL, my first year in NFL Europe was the last year the league existed in total. So it was definitely the right call. And in 2006, my dad said, you know, this is your passion. You want to pursue this. So I made a highlight DVD for my playing times in Germany and literally flew to America, not knowing how college recruiting works, and showed up at a bunch of colleges in the US and just saying, hey, I'm Marcus, I'm from Germany, I play football too. And they looked at me like I'm crazy because that's not really what usually happens. And they were like, wait, do you live here now? Or it's like, no, I just flew here where I'm here on like a road trip. And more schools, like it helped that Americans are friendly and my size. So those two factors were probably that got me in the door in the first place, and they didn't kick me off the curb right away. And then they looked at my tape and they were like, wow, you can actually play and you're a decent athlete. And now after this crazy road trip, I walked away with some Division I scholarships. And like I said, a year later, I packed my two bags and just May 17th, I will forever remember that day, May 17th, 2007. I'll move to America and I've been living in the US actually for 15 years now.
Wow, that is incredible. And it's not always that straightforward. I know I've been on a lot of recruiting calls with my son during the COVID years.
Yeah, he did the quarterback route too. So maybe he has to play linebacker or defense as well.
He's certainly not built like you. He probably needs to get bigger like you and then throw it like he does, and there'll be an absolute perfect match. So college football, that experience, to be in that atmosphere and then really to be in a professional environment. What was that like?
Is it exactly what you said? It is a professional environment. And when I first looked at the stadium as they're playing, and I asked the coach, like, oh, wow, this is a beautiful stadium and your facilities, like, who's playing here? And then he was like, yeah, we do. He's like, yeah, but who else? This can't just be you college students playing in a 60,000 seat stadium 6 times a year. Like, that wouldn't make any financial sense. but it was. That's exactly what it was. And it was their stadium, and it was unbelievable. And the way we practiced every single day was so nothing what I was used to. And I ended up actually playing as a true freshman out of sheer willpower. And I outgrew the linebacker spot even right away. I was a defensive end my first year. And then, defensive tackle, and then some strong side defensive end. And then, funny enough, when I first came to, this is a British podcast, so we can use the metric system, right?
Yes. Yeah.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you so much. It always makes me feel better. So I showed up there about 110, 115 kilos. And then later, the coach, when I was first showing up there, he looked at me and said, by the time you leave here, you'll probably be 140 pounds. And I was like, no way. I don't want to be like a fat guy. And little did I know, four and a half, five years later, going to the combine, I was exactly 300 pounds. So he obviously had a lot better experience what strength and conditioning in the US will do to me than I did. So I grew and I got bigger. My freshman year, I was a freshman All-ACC player right away, freshman honorable mention All-American. Had some ups and downs. And the second year, I thought I would be a starter. And I didn't start as many games as I wanted to. Then even my junior year, they wanted to pair me up with another defensive tackle that we came in together. And they redshirted me, which was like another blow. But I kind of put the head in the sand and never really gave up. Played again as a junior and was like a full-time starter as a senior, which then ultimately made me realize that there might be a chance of this football dream not being over quite so fast.
And let's go to that part then. The New York Giants select you in the 2012 draft. And sometimes people who are not involved in the journey and people who don't know what it takes to get there might overlook seventh round draft picks. I'm sure being any draft pick for you was special and will always be special because it takes an incredible amount just to get to that point. What was it like to hear your name called?
Well, like even the step before that, I'm a very day-to-day kind of worker too, and just try to do the right things every day. And hopefully ultimately they will lead to success in anything I do. And that's how it kind of was. And I never really realized, and I never had, like, growing up in America, people see like the college as a, which is crazy, a step in the middle just because I can't turn pro right away. And mostly nobody makes it in the first place, but it's not like I'm accomplished something. I'm getting a scholarship in this program. I get to have a great education and I can play some pretty competitive football. So it's like, the NFL was never a goal truly of mine. It was more like playing at that great college level. And I never realized of how that I actually had a chance until I was also the first German to be invited to the combine in Indianapolis. And then I had a great showing there. Like my numbers were pretty good. And then the Giants were kind of a little bit of my team because they had a really good defensive line, and New York was another place I visited before. So that kind of, there was a connection there. And then they just won the Super Bowl because they had a great defensive line. Mm. And then that team drafts you, and I don't care what round I was drafted. And that's also a moment I will never forget in my life, to the New York Giants. So with the great defensive line, and then, I mean, it's an unbelievable feeling, and it was even more wild when I actually went then to New York and all of a sudden sat in a room with a guy that you know really well, O.C. Umanura.
Yeah.
With Jason Pierre-Paul, with Justin Tuck, with Mathias Kiwanuka, with Chris Canty. I mean, Linville Joseph. You're in a room with these guys, and you're like, I'm this kid from Germany. I just moved to America a few years back. Now I'm the reigning Super Bowl champion with a bunch of, I don't know, Pro Bowlers and maybe even future Hall of Famers. So an unbelievable experience.
And I guess when you make that 53 as well, you're kind of ticking off these journeys, these goals, right? When you make the 53-man roster, again, that's another significant moment. Were you nervous when you're waiting around to find out that those...
Absolutely. and people like the Giants are a good organization that they, especially their draft picks, they always have a shot to make the squad. I knew right away that my way on the field would be doing two special teams. Mm-hmm. And I was probably the only defensive tackle that was on the punt team, on the punt return team, on the kickoff team, on the kickoff return team. And the kickoff return, back then we had the wedge. That was a little easier. But I was playing the three and on kickoff when we had the big guys still kind of involved because I ran a 4.89 on the 40. So
wow.
I got together with Larry Izzo, like a special teams maniac in the NFL, played that for a long time. It was the assistant special teams coach from the Giants back then. We had a long conversation during the combine, and I was like, hey, Larry, like, I know this is my way. Like, I want to play every special team possible because with this defensive line, I probably won't have a chance to see the field. But that was kind of my ticket too. And then I grinded again. And then I remember I was sitting at the US Open with my dad. And I told my whole family, just don't call me, because what you also don't realize is that they only call you to fire you. And if they don't call you, you make the team, which I think they should hand you a prize and call you and say, congratulations. But it's not like, no, if you don't get a call, just show up business as usual at the next day at work, which I think it's a terrible way of doing this.
That makes for a long day. That makes for a long
exactly,
day waiting for the phone not to
like,
ring.
You don't realize, like, okay, have they made the decision by 12 p.m. or by 6 p.m. or... Will they call me at 9 o'clock at night? So it's pretty much you don't relax till for like at midnight. I finally was like, okay, they haven't called yet. So I
think, I'll go to work tomorrow.
but my mom called me just to see, like, check on me, say like, hey, have they called you yet? But every time my phone was buzzing or ringing, I almost had a heart attack. And I was like, why are you calling me? He's like, well, nothing happened yet. So that's good. It's like, yeah, but I don't want my phone to ring at all today. So that was like definitely another crazy experience.
Yeah.
This is 7-time Pro Bowler Cam Jordan, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast. This is 7-time Pro Bowler Cam Jordan, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Let's talk about a couple of highs and lows, and then I want to talk about the game in Germany this weekend. Obviously, the high, the touchdown you scored. First German player to score a touchdown in the NFL against the Tennessee Titans. You'll remember the date. I'm sure it's etched in your December the 7th, 2014.
I actually don't. Funny enough, I don't remember that date. And every time if somebody says that, it's like, oh, it was later in the season than I thought it would have been.
Okay, you were fresher then. So you felt fresh still at that point.
No. Honestly, it's more like there's like so much has happened. And it was, I think it has historically an emphasis on football, maybe in Germany in general, because a lot of media covered it. And it was a little bit like, oh, there's a German that, I mean, there's Super Bowl is one thing, but that's like, accomplishing the Super Bowl is one thing, but a touchdown feels a little bit more, that happens all the time. And that's right. Like what the game is all about. It's like scoring a goal or hitting a home run or whatever it might be. And that was a little bit like a personal achievement for scoring a touchdown in the NFL. It seems like a simple thing to do, but that nobody ever has done it before was a great, unique moment. And I'm extremely grateful that I was lucky enough to be that kind of person. But it's like my entire NFL journey was like every single day for me personally, there were accomplishments that almost outweigh like having made a 53-man roster for multiple years, having started some games in the NFL.
It's harder than doing a scoop and score. Yeah.
You know, like that's like that's more like another thing. If you run to the football every single day in practice, once you get lucky enough and a certain moment will come up, you're prepared for that moment. So that's the payoff. But it's more like you can run to the football 100 times and maybe the ball will never roll in front of your feet, or you still do it every time in practice. And then one time it happens, you're prepared for the moment. And you sometimes don't know when these moments come, but so it always helps to kind of be prepared for them because you increase your odds of then being successful. But I mean, it's more like maybe that's just more like the exclamation mark on that I did something right every single day prior to that.
Absolutely. Did you keep the football?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Good.
I was starting this. Funny enough, then speaking of special teams, so I couldn't get off the field. So I had to keep my cool because I was on the field ball protection unit. So I was the tight end, the end on this guard, which is probably one of the hardest spots to play because you usually have two, back then like three guys lining up over your face. So being a defensive tackle to just score a touchdown, you know the defense was not happy with me that I just scored. So they lined up three guys next to me. So the very next play, I was in a field goal protection unit and I had three guys rush over me. Fortunately, I kept my cool. They didn't block the field goal or anything. But I handed it off to some of the guys. So like, hey, please take it to the sideline with you and save it for me when I come back in the next play.
Put it somewhere safe. Absolutely. How did you deal mentally with injuries? Obviously, you had your ACL tear and then I guess right at the end, a knee injury, which effectively you went to the Patriots for a while, but you didn't play after that second knee injury. Did you kind of, were you frustrated by that, or was it part of your journey and part of the business of the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, my first year was like the most surprising one almost when I felt like I finally kind of arrived a little bit and I was playing more and more. And then all of a sudden things are going well. And then you hit this like rock bottom that you tear your ACL and the season is over. And I never had that much of a serious injury before. And then you don't know what's happening in the league. You know, it's a competitive league. So are you going to kick me to the curb? Or is this just party over now? Or what's happening? But it wasn't the case. I was reassured that they're going to get me back right. And they're going to not like throw me out with a trash bag. And I got back to, you know, and then I played four seasons. And after three of them, I ended up having surgery. But I also realized that's also part of the game, especially when you're the only get your elbow fixed or your thumb, which is a serious injury, I feel like, for most sports. But in football, it's like business as usual. And then I injured myself in Miami, and that was like my last play game as a Giant, which I had a pretty decent game that game too. But I kind of walked off the field and realized, I was like, some reason, I was like, oh, this maybe could be my last actual football game, funny enough. And I don't know why that was, actually. But I was like, you know, I fought myself back. That season was over. We thought maybe we can make the playoffs because that year wasn't that bad. And I was trying to get back on the field. And then the Giants offered me after the season a contract. The Patriots offered me a better one. Said if the best team offers me the best contract, that's where I'm going. So always, like, if you have an opportunity, like, don't use security or maybe your home. But also, I loved the New York area, and I had a really good time with the Giants. And then going to a franchise that you don't know, that operates a little differently, was, and also in a different city. Like, New York is a different city than Foxborough.
Right.
and back then, my girlfriend, my now wife, lived in New York. So it was, you know, like, it was a little bit, I never felt that at ease and comfortable there. So not making the team was never as like, oh, wow, what's now? It was more like, you know what, I tried my best at the best team. They offered me a best contract. It didn't work out. I once again gave it my all. So I had no regrets, and it was just like, I was kind of at ease with everything, to be honest. And I had some other opportunities to show up and do tryouts with other teams, which was good, but I didn't even go there anymore because it felt a little bit like I'm still, it's like when you get broken up with your girlfriend and then she calls you back again and say, let's have dinner. And you say, no, I don't want to. So you have a little bit of power. So it was like, you know what, I kind of feel like I'm still wanted, but I make the decision actively to not take an advantage of that. And I applied to Columbia and got my master's in sports management and kind of knew I wanted to stay close to the sport, but not on the field as an active football player anymore.
Good for you. Obviously, you were only there a little bit of time, but Tom Brady's going to be playing in Munich this weekend. What did you see that makes you, you know, realize how he's been so special for so long?
The first moment I met him, obviously, on the field, because the Giants and the Patriots always played a preseason against each other. And we played a regular season against each other well. I actually scooped up a fumble from him. But it was the first time I've actually met in a human interaction with him, not on the football field, where I was of the Patriots and I met him in the cafeteria. They just gave me a tour right before I signed my contract. And he immediately came up to me and said, hi, I'm Tom Brady. Knew who I was. He said, hi, Marcus. Great to have you here. Knew who I was. I'm not a huge signing for the Patriots, right? They just didn't get the best available tackle in the NFL. So he knew who I was. Immediately, the way he approached me, just the way of leadership that he already showed in just a short period of time was like, wow, so this guy is a little different. This guy is special. And then obviously we had training camp together. I saw him work out for a long period of time. And it was, he had a bad day in practice. And even the next day in practice, during the whole defensive meeting in the morning, all the coaches was like, well, you know, Tom, like, he threw a pick yesterday or he missed two throws. You know, he's going to bring it today. And I was like, at the end of the day, like, quarterbacks miss throws in practice all the time. That's what it's for. But he was an animal. During the next practice session, he completed every throw in the most perfect spiral I've ever seen. It was like, he just has this switch that even in practice, he has a bad day. He just comes back so self-motivated and really wants to just prove a point, like, hey, I'm that kind of guy. And for him to now be the quarterback that then plays in the first ever regular season game in Germany, like, one of the greatest, not only greatest football player, but greatest athletes of all time. For him to come to Germany shows also, I think, a little bit to Germany and to the NFL how important that game and how important the German fans are.
Last question, Marcus, then. How special is it going to be this weekend for you to see that you were a young teenager who had to go to Florida to see your NFL action, and now the NFL is coming to Munich. It's coming to your country. How special is that going to be?
I mean, like I said, unbelievable. The first time I was exposed to it in a foreign country, because I was lucky enough to have a trip there. And now it's even shown on TV, you know, more or less Tom Brady is around the corner, no matter where you live in Germany, like, it's here. And the NFL does a great job of not making this a one-time event. Like, I've been very active at the flag football program in Germany, the way we see kids taking that on and all the events around it and what's about to follow. The game has really truly arrived. And what makes me so happy is that German fans are such passionate fans, and they kind of earned this game. I feel like they fought hard for it, and they deserve it. And the good thing is, even though this is so special, it's still just the beginning of what is happening in Germany and with the NFL in Germany. And I think that's even almost more exciting than just one time, this one event.
No, it's the start. And some of the best nights I've ever had covering professional football were in Germany, were in NFL Europe. So you're absolutely right. They do deserve it. Marcus, I will see you in Munich, but thank you for joining me today.
Neil, thank you so much for inviting me. It was great talking to you.
There you are. That's my conversation with Marcus Kuhn. What a journey. What an inspiration. Hope you enjoyed that on the Neil Reynolds podcast. Remember, check out the Neil Reynolds West Coast road trip with Elite Sports Travel at Elite Sports Trav at Neil Reynolds NFL. There's no mailbag this week because I am packing my bags and heading to Munich. So I'll catch you next week with another special guest. Until then, bye for now. Been listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast brought to you by Elite Sports Travel. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Jackie Anklin, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast and help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening. This has been a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.